From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 8th day of December 2011. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with John Bondurant of Bondurant Futures in Memphis, Tennessee. Dan Zwicker is out of the office today. A bit later in the program, guess what? Peter Levitt is back, our agricultural meteorologist. Not quite in the saddle yet, but we do have a nice little discussion with him about the last several months and his hobby. That's right, his hobby, meteorology. And as we make our way through the program today, Dave Dickey will be here with the agricultural news, of course, and another edition of Lisa Brault's In My Backyard. And it all happens on this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report, a production of Illinois Public Media from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois.
The Closing Market Report on Illinois Public Media is made possible with support from L&M Commodities, a full-service brokerage company serving area farmers with professional market advice and crop insurance products. L&M Commodities has offices in New Market, Indiana, Leland, Illinois, and Terrell, Arkansas.
Taking a look at the numbers as they settled up in Chicago on this Thursday afternoon from the CME Group in Chicago, the nearby contract for the soft red winter wheat finished 6.25 cents lower at $5.76¾. The March at $5.97, down 3.5. And the May futures at $6.18¾, 2.5 cents lower. It's once again $6.18¾. July, $6.35¼, down 2. December corn futures, $5.90, up 7¾. The March at $6.25, up 7.5 for the day. The May, $6.08¾, up 7.5 as well. July contract in the corn pit, 7¾ higher at $6.14½. And September at $5.81¼, up 9¾. December corn next year, $5.61, up a dime for the day. January soybeans on the afternoon at 11.32½, up 1.5 cents. The March at 11.42¼, up 1¼. May futures 11.52½, up 1¼. July contract $11.62¼, up 1¼. And August soybeans $11.61½, 3/4 higher. November contract 11.57, up a penny for the day. Bean meal at 287, or rather 282.70, down a dollar. And the bean oil at 50.20. That's 4 cents lower for the day. Live cattle futures December contract 119.42½, up 27½. February futures at 119.60, down 17½, and January feeder cattle at 142.47½, 25 cents lower. December lean hogs at 84.82½, down $1.17½. This is the Closing Market Report. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures, January's at 98.32, down $2.17. The ethanol at 2.13¾, that's 0.8% higher. Natural gas, 3.45, 2.8 cents higher. Heating oil, diesel fuel, 5.7 cents lower, 2.92½. And the gold futures on the day at $1,709.80 an ounce, $31.10 lower. The Dow Jones Industrial Average at 12,025, down 170 points. The dollar at 78.84, that's up 0.36. Now, something of importance. If you can listen online, I want you to turn this program off right now. You can come back and catch us at willag.org, and I want to send you there to willag.org. There is a link to the John Corzine MF Global congressional hearing that's happening in front of the Ag Committee as we speak at this time. Please do visit willag.org.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
This is the Closing Market Report. It is a Thursday afternoon. Normally, Dan Zwicker of ADM Grain Group in Decatur, Illinois, joins us to take a look at the world of agricultural commodities. On the phone line in his stead today, John Bondurant of Bondurant Futures in Memphis, Tennessee. Good afternoon to you, John, and thanks so much for taking the time with us today.
How are you today, Todd?
Important happenings in Washington, D.C., with John Corzine in front of the Ag Committee talking about MF Global and its demise. I'll remind listeners that they can listen to that live from the Congressional audio feed, and they can visit our website at willag.org to pick it up if they'd like. John, I'm doing very well here, and I've been watching this marketplace maybe base building. I'm not quite certain what to think of the corn market at this point. Maybe you've got some better ideas for me.
Well, I guess the corn market is probably going to be more in tune to what happens on the stocks and all positions report in January and the size, ultimate size of the crop. There are a lot of us that simply don't believe the stocks and all positions report in September, which showed that animal feeding for the crop year was down 9.4%, and yet the animals slaughtered was up 1.8%, which never made any sense. In other words, they're somehow mystically learned to gain weight without eating grains. I think it's possible that they end up having to raise that last year's feed consumption, 200 million, this year's 300 million, and all of a sudden you've got 500 million off the carryover. So it's an explosive time, depending on what your belief is in that stocks report. The CFTC, the SEC, USDA has been very poor on their crop reports in the last few years. I think the quality of work has clearly gone down.
Which number did they miss to begin with? Was it total yield, total production for not this year but for last year?
Well, last year's fourth quarter was a disaster, and it was sharply lower than where it should have been. And so they said, well, that means that feed usage was way down. They cut feed usage 200 million that year and 200 million for this year based on the very low high stock numbers and very low feed consumption, which makes no sense. I mean, you just can't have almost 2% more production and almost 10% less feed usage. It doesn't add up. So I would hope that in February it'll reverse itself, and we'll find some sort of fantastic feed usage.
So the grain stock's coming up in January. That tells me you're not particularly worried about tomorrow morning's report at all, then.
Well, I don't think there's much to that other than foreign crops are getting bigger. There's no question about that. The Brazilian crop's bigger than corn. The Argentine crop's bigger than corn. The Australian wheat crop's a couple million tons higher than the USDA. The European corn crop is higher. The Russian crops are all higher, so we've got a ton of competition around the world, and I presume it's high prices and technology transfer equal better yields. You know, we had some terrifically high prices, and farmers could make an awful lot of money. I think they spent more money on fertilizer, and they had greater technological. I've always feared the technology transfer to East Europe, and I think that's a real deal, and it's not going away.
Do you have any confidence that the United States Department of Agriculture will change the grain stocks and put those, take those bushels back out and drop the ending number to 500, carry out for 500 million?
Yeah. I mean, I think it if they had to feed something, and eventually it's not, in my way, it's the way of thinking, possible that you can have 2% more production on 10% less feeding. It just doesn't make sense. So I would think, I would hope that it was another mistake and they'll rectify it as we go forward into the year. The only other explanation is they underestimated last year's crop a great deal, and I find that a little remote because the basis in the Corn Belt in your area and my area is some of the highest I've ever seen. If the basis is that high, that says the stocks simply aren't there. So that would be my explanation of why they're going to have to change the numbers.
Are you sure enough that you'd be satisfied with the bushels you've already sold and to wait it out for the rest of them?
Oh, I've been 100% sold personally. If I weren't, I think I would wait and see what the January 12th report is. I doubt that tomorrow's report is going to do anything. And there's some other things going on in livestock. Broiler chick sets have gone from being 9% down to 4%. The broiler industry is going broke, and now they're making a little money. We're seeing record high hog weights. Again, consumers of corn and animal sector are making money. So all that dynamic is changing. The ethanol industry has had record usages last week. So cheap corn prices and cheap grain prices are helping the livestock industry go forward. So I think we've got possibility of things changing. If my radical thoughts on the stocks and all positions report were to be correct, we could have a monster rally in corn.
So you said cheap. You think $5.90 December corn is cheap?
In relation to the size of the carryover, yes.
All right. What do you think about the bean market? If you think corn is poised to move higher, are you in the same boat for soybeans?
No.
Okay.
Corn soybean usage is horrible. Here we're sitting here with the government saying we're going to be down 176 million on exports, and as we speak today, we're down 417 million on sales, and we just keep getting worse. And South America's had good weather. Also, the domestic crush is running at a rate probably 25 to 40 million under the current USDA number. So I would think that the bean carryover ultimately is going to be raised 50 to 75 million bushels, which is not favorable to price, but we've come down a long way. Now, if we have a really explosive setup in corn, then that will stop the beans from going down because it will be an acreage transfer deal. We'll have less bean acres produced, so acreage production equals less acreage yield production, et cetera. We'll have a smaller crop, and the market should rally some, but I'm not terribly optimistic about it, frankly.
John, thank you so much for taking the time with us. It's always a pleasure to talk with you.
Yeah, great talking to you, Todd.
John Bondurant is with Bondurant Futures. He is in Memphis, Tennessee. Joins us here on the Closing Mark Report for this Thursday afternoon. If you would like, you can hear him again at our website at WILLAG.org. We'll have it posted there by about 3:15 Central Time today. And while you're there, make sure you hit that link right now, probably, unless you're listening to this tape delayed, for the congressional hearing that's taking place. The Ag Committee is talking with MF Global CEO John Corzine at this point.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 95 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
Dave Dickey, your Director of Ag Programming, is here now with today's agricultural news.
In agricultural news, House Agriculture Committee Ranking Member Colin Peterson wants Congress to consider adding the Farm Bill to a bill to pay for as an extension of payroll tax relief and unemployment insurance, and to prevent doctors who take Medicare patients from seeing a cut in their payments. Peterson says the deal would allow use of the $23 billion in agricultural cuts over 10 years to offset the payroll and unemployment costs. In return, lawmakers would pass a new farm bill and not make the agriculture budget subject to across-the-board cuts that are supposed to go into effect in 2013 because the supercommittee was unable to reach agreement. CME Group has given a broad committee the task of looking at ways to defend against future failures like that of MF Global. The inability of regulators to locate hundreds of millions of dollars in missing customer funds more than a month after MF Global's failure has cast a pall over CME. The Chicago-based exchange operator has offered a $550 million guarantee to speed up the bankruptcy trustee's release of frozen customer money and has earmarked a $50 million trust for distribution to customers should the missing money not be found. Still, those assurances have not been enough to silence critics blaming CME for its role in letting the funds go missing. 1 year ahead of a scheduled review, a panel of experts tells the Environmental Protection Agency it needs to do more work on human health effects of a popular agricultural chemical. An EPA scientific advisory panel convened in Washington, D.C. this past summer to examine the science used by EPA to examine the safety of atrazine found that there are scientific gaps to close before an atrazine re-registration review starts in 2013. The panel brought into question the use of animal toxicology studies in reviewing atrazine. 2011 has set a new record for the most weather disasters, costing more than $1 billion each in the U.S. The National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration added two disasters to the list Wednesday, bringing the total to 12. The old record for $1 billion disasters was 9 in 2008. Smithfield Foods says its fiscal second quarter net income slid 16% compared with last year's quarter. The company earned $120.7 million, or 74 cents per share, in the 3 months ending October 30th. That compares to $143 million, or 86 cents a share, during the same period last year. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Support for today's broadcast comes from Common Ground Food Co-op in Lincoln Square Mall. Community-owned since 1974, Common Ground is a full-service grocer featuring organic and local foods grown right here in Illinois. More information is on their website at www.commonground.coop.
Hi, this is Illinois Public Media Director of Agricultural Programming, Dave Dickey. Coming up next, so what did you do with all those leaves this fall? Lisa Braltz discovered a fortuitous, sustainable, and very local alternative to bagging them and leaving them for pickup in her latest edition of In My Backyard.
Deciduous trees, trees that lose their leaves in autumn, in our part of Illinois, are especially beautiful about 6 months out of the year. The appearance of their leaves in spring after long winters and their showy foliage in the fall, late this year, it seems, are hotly anticipated and discussed seasonal occurrences. And the shade they provide during our sweltering summers is invaluable. But when winter begins its final approach and big fall winds blow the once colorful leaves to the ground, something probably should be done with them, right? And you have options. You can ignore them, you can move them around to different parts of your yard, and outside city limits, you can burn them. But we're lucky in Champaign County. We have a major loop closing resource in the Landscape Recycling Center in Urbana. Leaves and yard waste from Urbana-Champaign can be composted at the center, and the resulting garden compost is available for sale to local gardeners in the spring. However, Urbana resident Jana Hoyer needs leaves. And it's not like she doesn't have any. She lives in a heavily treed neighborhood, but she needs more, lots more. Why? Well, it's about the ducks, her ducks.
Honestly, what I really use them for now is I have herding dogs and I can't have sheep in my backyard. So we train on ducks. We use the eggs and they make fantastic compost.
Keeping fowl is legal in Urbana. While most people understandably think of chickens when they think of urban fowl, a walk down the street in some of Urbana's neighborhoods tells another story. Jana keeps bantam ducks in her backyard. The ducks are really for her dogs to practice their herding with, but in the winter, they don't earn their keep at all. They're total mooches. They eat a ton, they don't lay eggs, and they need a place to hang out that's warm and relatively clean. Enter the leaves.
When you have poultry and they're in a confined space, you need bedding. Chickens, straw works fine because they dig it up and stir it around. Ducks, straw is a disaster because their big flat feet stomp it down, it mats, it goes anaerobic, and it's nasty. I discovered by accident that leaves make fantastic bedding for them. They fluff up, they dry out fast, so they don't get all matted. The thing is it takes a lot of leaves because it composts really fast. I need way more leaves than my trees around my yard can provide.
Jana was looking at chopping straw all winter, an alternative that somehow made me think of Laura Ingalls Wilder in The Long Winter, the one where the Ingalls family twisted straw to keep warm. She wasn't sure how she would get enough leaves to avoid chopping straw, and she was ready to do it. But fortunately, she realized she could put out a call to her neighbors and, well, to complete strangers.
Put a pile where?
On the concrete pad.
Oh, so I'll have to bag them anyway to get them there.
Okay, well, yeah. We'll...
So what I started doing is asking people for their leaves. They're bagging them up and tossing them, so I want to use them. And I put out a plea on Facebook, and I have people all over Champaign-Urbana bringing me bags of leaves right now.
Using materials that are trash or an annoyance or unconventional to great benefit is not exactly new terrain for Jana and her family. Lengths of PVC pipe and twine become huge trellises. Wire cattle panels keep tomato plants upright. Reclaimed lumber becomes raised garden beds. And leaves of all kinds from all over Urbana-Champaign become bedding for ducks. And when spring comes, compost for the garden.
I was influenced by permaculture. We try to get everything to interact. Outputs from one thing should be inputs from another thing.
This kind of backyard project is an awesome way of closing the loop even more locally. There are people behind those bags of leaves, and they know exactly what's going to happen to those leaves when they bring them over to Jana's house. They can meet the ducks if they want. And if they're lucky, they might even get some compost from their own leaves to use in their own gardens in the spring. It's almost like a tiny compost CSA. I think those ducks might be earning their keep this winter after all. This is Lisa Braltz for In My Backyard.
Lisa Braltz's stories can also be heard on our website, WILLAG.org. Click on the In My Backyard link in the right navigation window. And you can also read her occasional blogs at majorprogression.wordpress.com.
Support for the Closing Market Report comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
Now, your director of agricultural programming, Dave Dickey, has been monitoring the congressional hearing taking place in Washington, D.C. John Corzine of MF Global has been talking to the members of the Ag Committee. Tim Johnson of the 15th Congressional District here in Illinois, that's the congressional district that services the Urbana-Champaign and many other areas, has just finished up his conversation, and Dave managed to trap that or record it, so he will use it tomorrow during this program. He'll be setting in for me on Friday and then all of next week as I'm traveling with the Illinois Farm Economics Summits starting next week. Tomorrow's another issue, but you'll be able to hear what Mr. Johnson had to say and the questions he had to ask of Mr. Corzine tomorrow during this program. On the phone line right now with us to answer a few questions is Matt Bennett. He is at TGM in Windsor, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Matt. Thanks for taking the time.
Yep, good afternoon, Todd.
And we asked yesterday the folks at the ethanol plant in Delphi, Indiana, if they had trucks coming in and they were busy, and the answer there was yes, but they're an end user. How about on your end where you're just receiving?
Yeah, we're getting quite a bit of corn in at this point. You know, most of the elevators in this neck of the woods, we've talked about several times, didn't get full this fall. And so I guess most elevators, if not all in this area, are offering free DP, you know, and getting guys to move stuff out of the bins, which is, you know, it's good. They can get it out of their hair and go ahead and move it whenever, you know, before snow hits the ground. So, yeah, we're fairly busy.
Basis remain strong or not?
It's starting to show a little bit of weakness here and there. It just kind of depends on which rail line you're talking or which processor you're talking. But, you know, still those ethanol guys, as you alluded to earlier, they're buying up corn and, you know, their margins are good.
Margins are good. They won't be as good after January, but I still think at this point it looks like they'll still be making money even then.
It sure looks that way. We've actually seen a little bit more of them, you know, looking to originate some corn here after the first of the year. And there was a time frame in there where they weren't buying a whole lot. And, you know, several people in the industry were a little bit concerned about that. But, you know, they've obviously moved forward and bought quite a bit of corn after the first of the year at this point.
And what are your bids for the day?
Our bids for the day on cash corn, we would be $5.97. You know, fall corn, we're bidding 30 under, and then on cash beans, we'd be around $11.28. And then for next fall, we'd be running about $11.27.
Thank you so much, Matt.
Thank you, Todd.
Matt Bennett is with TGM. He is in Windsor, Illinois. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report on this Thursday afternoon. We'll say goodbye to some of our radio stations now. For the rest of you, stick around. I had a conversation earlier today with Pete Levitt. He's getting back to normal, and we expect to have him in our regular weather rotation by Thursday of next week. Just a quick conversation about his life and his hobbies, and I'd like you to listen to it. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes. Goodbye to some of you.
It's National Brownie Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1730, Jan Ingelhuis was born. A Dutch-born British physician and scientist, he discovered photosynthesis by identifying that sunlight gave green plants the ability to take in carbon dioxide, fix the carbon, and purify the air to the benefit of respiration of animals. In 1765, Eli Whitney was born, inventor of the cotton gin. He was more important to the development of the concept of mass-producing interchangeable parts. This he applied in the fulfillment of a 1797 U.S. government contract to supply muskets. Whitney manufactured these in standardized parts for reassembly, meaning that for the first time, worn parts could be replaced by spares rather than requiring special replacements to be made. In 1896, J.T. White was issued a patent for an improved lemon squeezer. Also in 1896, Ernest Engel died, a German statistician. He is known for Engel's Law, which states that the proportion of expenditure on food will fall as income rises. That food essentially is a necessary good. And in 1942, Albert Kahn died, a German-American industrial architect and planner. He is considered the father of modern factory design. And that's this day in agricultural history.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Thursday afternoon. As you know, some months ago, Peter Levitt, agricultural meteorologist who usually joins us at this time, fell down his basement stairs and broke his leg fairly seriously, actually very seriously. I have been talking to him on and off over that intervening time. He expects to be back with us next week. And this time around, I think he's actually right that next week he will be here for the third Thursday of the month. I spent some time on the phone with him this morning and asked how he was doing and suggested, of course, that it was a pretty rough several months in the intervening time. Here's part of our conversation.
Yeah, it has been, and it's, you know, I'm not absent for the information. I just don't have as rich a stream as I like to have when I start talking about it. I've spent long enough years, I'm old enough to have talked through my hat numerous times in my early, hopefully in my early part of the career.
Yeah, I've done the same.
To know when the hat has leaks in it.
Yeah, that's right. Hey, speaking of which, how old are you?
80.
You're 80. I was 78, 80, 82. I wasn't sure you were in
that
range.
Well, you got it right in the middle there. No, I'm 80 years old, I have spent a lifetime, Todd, working at my hobby. There's no better way to work. You know, in other words, meteorology, weather information, and its impact is what I was doing when I was a teenager in high school. So, and I actually was hired by and ultimately retired as CEO of the company I first went to work for when I got out of school. Spent all my life working for a company that went through a series of names changes, but it was mostly Weather Services Corporation, and then WSI Corp was founded on the side of that corporation as a separate entity, which I was involved with. So those are the two companies. And in my later years, I spent a lot of time being associated with various committees. You get to that level of that I don't care what you've ever learned. It says you're old enough to know better type of appointments. You know, I wish they'd do it on the basis of what you really know and not how long you've been doing whatever you've been doing, but maybe that's some measure of success.
Did you start with WILL and this program after you retired then?
Oh, no. I was actively working. I retired in 98. And so I've been, I worked that through. And that was one of the things I didn't give up when I retired, the WILL, because it's it works as much for me as hopefully it does for most of your listeners, in that in order to service listeners, my obligation is to know what I'm talking about.
That's a small portion of conversation I held with Peter Levitt this morning. He certainly knows what he's talking about and knows when not to talk about it, too. He expects to be back with us right here on this program next Thursday afternoon. That wraps up this edition of the Closing Market Report. You have a great day. I'm Todd Gleason.
Support for today's broadcast comes from ADM, now providing a new mobile site, FarmerView, for up-to-date futures, weather, market commentary, and local bids. Available at adm.com/farmerview.